If I may quickly introduce Oxford Economics, just for context of who we are. Oxford was founded about 30 years ago, originally as a partnership with Oxford University. Since then, we've grown and have offices throughout the world. I'm based in the Philadelphia office. I consider myself an adopted Texas son, though, because my wife of 11 years is a San Antonian. My father-in-law has not given me Texas citizenship yet, and I believe he's holding out for when we actually relocate physically to Texas. So I have close ties here and glad to be here with you. Our client list is really some of the largest companies in the world. We do a lot of economic impact work as well. The work that we've done spans from the Olympics to working with about 100 Convention and Visitors Bureaus across the country on event impact analysis. So this is something we're very comfortable with and we're happy to tackle. The way that we started this study was we really wanted to understand Texas A&M football and how it affects the local economy. So what we started with was a set of what we called stakeholder input sessions, where we simply asked in a variety of ways, what does Texas A&M home football mean to your business? What does it mean to your community? What does it mean to your family? And that helped to form some of the parameters of the more quantitative analysis. So I'm going to start and share with you some of the highlights of what people told us. Before we even gone into the data, what did people say about Texas A&M home football? Well, based on a survey of local businesses, it was noteworthy how many businesses said that if Texas A&M home football games were played outside of Brazos County, they would be detrimentally affected in a significant way. In fact, if home games were played outside of the county for 1 year, a full two-thirds of businesses said the impact would be either significant or catastrophic. If you expand that to a two-year schedule, the potential of home games being played outside of the area for 2 years, then you're looking at 74%, so nearly three out of four businesses saying significant or catastrophic impact. I thought, wow, that's no joke. Well, then we asked, well, tell us about it. What is, in your own words, what would some of the impacts be? And I just pulled some of the highlights. There are quite a lot more, but I wanted to share this with you to give you some kind of context to once we get into the stats. The loss of sales during football season would be a double whammy. Visitors wouldn't come and residents would leave. Right, so you've got household spending that actually would leak out of the local economy. One business said, economic development agency said, we've got about 300 people that try to start a business every year in Brazos County. Without home games, the loans required to start those businesses would not be available. Football season is our holiday season. There was a clear correlations from a business standpoint that home football games and Christmas are kind of, you know, offer the same financial reward. The impact on our community would be devastating. 80% of our profits in the last 3 to 4 months of the year. Moving these games would be, quote, a self-induced recession. This would be our Hurricane Katrina and oil spill all in one. All right. And then lastly, even after football returned, the impact would continue because businesses would fail. So these were some general comments. One of the things that was interesting that came out of these stakeholder sessions is that people's concern for the students. And some of the key findings, again, from people's input was that this quote, many kids are working their way through college and depend on jobs gratuities generated by home games. This would affect additional burden on financial aid if those incomes cease to exist. Moving games to Houston would pose a safety risk. We've heard this many times through the transport, the travel between College Station and Houston. Also, home games are an important way to recruit new students and new players, and that would be perhaps jeopardized. One grocery store sees a 30% increase in business on home game weekends, and they hire 140 to 160 students in a year. So we asked local businesses in our survey more broadly, how many students do you hire? And it's interesting, it said that during football season alone, there's an increase in part-time student employment of 60-some percent. So clearly at risk, and full-time increase of about 10% during that period of time alone. And then lastly, on the more qualitative side of our research, concern that the Expo Center would not have the adequate funding. If the HOT tax receipts are lower, well, that funds the servicing of that debt. Banks indicating that they have substantial deposits on Monday after home football games. And one bank said most of their activity is actually related to game day real estate. In fact, one condominium project being developed with about a $300,000 price point said that without the home games, those units just are not going to sell. One business was planning a warehouse project that they say would be tabled if there are not home games in the coming year. And then, of course, property taxes would suffer because assessments, which are based on incomes for the prior year, would come down. Therefore, property tax receipts would also come down. So we took all this and said, okay, what is this? First of all, we said, wow, clearly this means a lot. But our job was essentially to quantify it. And so we put all that to the side and said, okay, these are people's views. Let's see what the data tell us. And to do that, we compiled data from a number of different sources. The first was the athletics department. It was very helpful in providing us revenue expenditure data related to game days. The 12th Man Foundation, also incredibly cooperative in providing data, not only on ticket sales and revenue, but where those sales are originating. How many people are coming from outside the area versus local versus students. We also pulled data from a survey of visitors to the Brazos Valley, and that survey is an ongoing survey that the state actually purchases. And then hotel data, the company called Smith Travel Research that compiles day-by-day data on hotel occupancy and revenue that we're then able to align with when games occur. And then sales tax data and our own survey of local businesses. So in a sense, this is like putting a puzzle together. You need all these different pieces to get a full picture. So let me sum it up. And these are some of the big numbers. That in the 2011 season, a total of $120 million in spending was generated by Texas A&M home football games. Averages about $17 million a game. And you can see that the majority of that spending that's coming into the local economy is from out-of-town visitors. There's certainly some local spending that's generated by these games, but the majority of the people coming from out-of-town, they're the ones that are spending the big dollars on everything from hotel rooms to entertainment to transportation and food and beverage. And what you see in the research is that it's not just one industry. It's not just the hotel industry that benefits. It's actually a pretty wide spectrum of industries in the local economy that benefit from Texas A&M home football games. So obviously tickets are generating a lot of revenue. Right? But after that, food and beverage, both in grocery stores and in restaurants and bars, seat license and donations, the retail market for shopping, transportation, sponsorships, lodging industry, you may be surprised to see it's not near the top. But to the lodging industry, it means a great deal. One of the ways that we can validate this research is by looking at, on game day weekends, what actually happens to hotel occupancy rates and what actually happens to hotel revenue. And what you can see in those gray shaded areas is that whenever there's a game day weekend, that occupancy, the blue line, spikes up, and that the average daily rate charged per room also spikes up. I mean, you're looking at increases upwards of 50% in each of those metrics on game day weekends. So it means an incredible amount, much more than just the added room demand, but the revenue that represents to the hotel industry. What we do with this data is the important next step. So once we've established that we've got $117 million in a given season that's being injected into the local economy, we want to answer the question, well, how does that affect the economy? Because it doesn't just stop there. Right? And Ben alluded to this earlier, you know, how many times does the money turn over? And how does it leak out? How does it go through the supply chain? And there are two quick concepts I need to review with you as we go to these results. The first is the indirect impact. So the direct impact, okay, this is the injection of funds. The indirect impact is the supply chain. So as that restaurant needs to buy from other vendors in the local economy, how does that generating additional business sales through the supply chain? The next concept is the induced impact. And there, what we're measuring is, as the employee of that restaurant earns an income and spends that income locally, how is that then generating what we call this third round or induced impacts in the local economy? And this is standard economic development sort of metrics that show that a dollar just doesn't stop once it gets spent. And we use a model based on government data that measures how these dollars flow through the economy, creating jobs and taxes along the way. So once we do that, one of the things that you'll see if you look at the full report is how other industries benefit from this spending that takes place. So, for example, the restaurant industry primarily is benefiting as a direct recipient of visitor spending associated with Texas A&M home football games. However, what's interesting, the FIRE, which is the finance, insurance, and real estate sector, is benefiting in a substantial way on an indirect and induced basis. So this entire segment of the economy is benefiting as a supplier and as a recipient of spent incomes. Okay? So that's where you see, well, the impact is actually much broader than just that $117 million. Okay. And just to recap, it's $177 million when you include those indirect and induced flows. That is, if you took away all of that spending, all $117 million, it would actually be a gross impact of $177 million in 1 year. That equates to 2,400 jobs. Right, so 2,400 jobs are supported by Texas A&M home football games. Directly, we're at 1,874, so nearly 2,000 jobs, the remainder being indirect and induced. What does it mean to local government? Texas A&M home football games in 2011 generated $5.7 million in local government taxes. One of the things we also looked at, and this is a really an optimistic, hopeful part of the work. It's not all just what would be lost, but we looked at what the SEC, given the wide reach of both media and spectators and away team fans and more people attending as well in the future, what that represents in terms of upside to the impact. And there we've projected that SEC, and this will take several years to realize, but represents a potential 15% increase in spectators that are coming into town, as well as about 25% increase in spending. So there's a bright future associated with SEC. Okay, so turning the corner. What if home games were played outside of the Brazos Valley? What happens? Well, as Ben shared, not all of the impact is lost, right? Because ticket sales are still going to happen, right? Some events will still take place here, but of course a lot will be lost as well. And what I'm showing you here are the net impacts if home football games are played outside the area for one season. And there you see $86 million in business sales would be lost in 1 year. Is that's out of that $177 million. So a majority of the impact would be lost. Right? And actually, the part that will be kept, most of it is related to ticket sales. So $86 million in business sales, $21 million in household income would be lost in a single year. And that equates to nearly 1,000 jobs. So it would seem to not be overstating it that this could actually be something of a self-induced recession. Our role in all of this, and I think this is important to state here toward the end, is really to be impartial. We don't come into a project like this with an opinion other than to try to quantify it. But we did think that, I'm going to end here with one quote from one of our stakeholders, summed up not only the sentiment that we heard, but what could be considered a conclusion of the quantitative analysis. And I'll just share this with you before we have question and answers. Texas A&M should never consider taking away its main attraction for the Bryan-College Station area, A&M football. It is the greatest tradition of any university in the country. 90,000 fans, hotel rooms, dinners, lunches, clothes, nightlife, cars, and yes, even mobile homes and RVs. The total commerce is unbelievable. Don't give it to another city for any amount of time. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have. So I'm just open up the floor.
Number of businesses surveyed?
The businesses that we surveyed generally in the stakeholder sessions was about, between the two, it was 100 and, I'm going to say 150 businesses. Right. Then we had detailed survey responses from 35 businesses.
I don't have the conclusion sheet in front of me, so if I'm duplicating your effort, I apologize. But can you address the loss of revenues to the cities, what that tax revenue means?
Sure. We'll go back and we'll cover that in a little bit more detail. You see there the tax losses of that $2.8 million. That's what would be lost by local government. You can see the different, so there's sales and use of about $478,000 for about $500,000 in sales tax, about $500,000 in hotel tax and HOT tax, about $1.8 million in property taxes, and then other taxes and fees, which includes a lot of different smaller taxes, about just $60,000. A total of $2.8 million. Yes, sir?
That says rather than county.
It is, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a chance to bounce this off the local governments to see if they agree with these numbers, or is this the first time they're seeing it as well?
It's just being released today. Yes, sir.
Were any of the other surrounding communities considered in the study, and do you have anything or comments about that?
Mm-hmm. In the stakeholder sessions, we actually had some representatives come from surrounding communities that wanted to also say it matters to us as well. And so we had some input from them to that extent. And, you know, for example, hotels saying, you know, significantly, you know, beyond the borders, saying, you know, we're benefiting quite a lot. We defined this very tightly as Brazos County, though, when we did the quantitative analysis.
This is single season.
So two seasons, you basically double it.
Yes, ma'am. What surprised you the most in your
mm-hmm. I think that some of the impacts on students was one of the things that stood out to us that we wouldn't have anticipated how it affects the student community. The magnitude of the impacts was not that surprising. To be honest, we looked at some of the work that had been done on other programs as well, and it's actually, you know, more or less in line with studies that we've seen for Penn State and UT and others. I think one of the big differences, I should say, is that given the size of the Brazos County economy, which is relatively small, it relatively is much more important to this economy than it is to other places. So, for example, when we just analyzed the Olympics, huge impact, but to London, it doesn't mean a whole lot. Yeah. A&M home football means quite a lot to Brazos County. Yes, sir?
In your just recent comment there about simply doubling it if it were two seasons,
yeah.
It goes a little bit farther than that, though, doesn't it? For some businesses, I believe one of your earlier slides, it showed, indicated that it would be more catastrophic to a number of businesses,
yeah.
That they would actually go out of business
right.
than
right.
barely surviving with just one season.
Exactly. So on a micro basis, the question was, could it not be a larger than just double impact for two seasons? I'm going to go a little technical, but on a microeconomic basis, you're absolutely right. A business might fail over 2 years where they might be able to survive over one. But in terms of a total revenue basis for an industry, it's, you know, given the data that we would have projecting it, it'd be appropriate to say doubling it is about what it would be.
Was there any consideration given then to how long it would take to return to the economic levels before the games were moved down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was there any way to say how long would it take to get back to where we were once the games return, assuming that they do leave for a period of time? You know, there's qualitative evidence that would be the case, that there'd be a period of time required for vamping up, because some businesses that would fail would have to return, and some of the expertise as well that has been built up and the capacity that's built up to accommodate these games would be lost. But that remained qualitative. We weren't able to, the data wouldn't support a quantitative analysis of that.
I'm not sure if you fully addressed it or not, but obviously a lot of these numbers are based on previous seasons. Now that the fact that it's an SEC season, probably more people and newer people that are coming in, did that factor into the numbers a great deal?
Well, what would be lost, you know, based on historic, you know, I think that's the appropriate way to look at it. You know, what do we have? What do we have in the most recent history? Because that's we've got historic data for that. We did the analysis of the potential gains from SEC as a separate kind of future scenario, but you could easily, you know, make the case that since SEC represents a bump up in demand, that actually the what is at stake is even greater than what we've calculated here.
Did your study include what might be done to keep the games here? I've heard figures between $35 and $50 million to Baylor for construction of their new stadium. The impact that might be in place if a bunch of money was pitched in to keep it here.
It did not. That was outside of our scope. I think our role in this is to provide you, the community, the stakeholders, the decision makers, with information to inform those decisions. With facts that can help to inform what those decisions are. Yes, sir.
It seems like the property taxes are a large number and the impact. How did you drive that?
Mm-hmm. The property taxes is a function of income, and that dynamic of reassessments that would take place based on reduced income. And the economic models that we use for Brazos County reflect that. So they reflect the rates of property taxes and how the reductions of income would flow through to those. And it'd be surely a combination of different things. You'd have households that you're going to be pulling back on the real estate market on the residential side as well as on the corporate side. And so you're going to see it on both sides of the coin. And that's why it is a significant number. Yes, sir.
I'm not an economist, but people don't move to Bryan College Station just because of the football game. They move here for other reasons.
Mm-hmm. Now, what we learned in the stakeholder sessions from developers was that there actually is a market for alumni that are coming, and that real estate or those games are actually driving demand for certain real estate. Most of the property tax impact there is not that. Most of the property tax impact there is the result of incomes being reduced, so someone's not going to maybe trade up, or they're going to be forced out of their home, and values are going to be suppressed in the real estate market. Also, businesses are not going to form, and some will go out of business. Some will actually have reassessments done based on lower income. So you've got all these different factors flowing into that property tax number.
So you took into consideration inventory levels from a property tax standpoint.
Inventory levels in what sense?
Well, that's what we're taxed on, right? That's what the property tax is. Did you take it into consideration?
Yeah, the models actually are based on the baseline of business performance, and so as that adjusts, everything adjusts proportionally. Yes, sir.
I think we have a tendency when we think about property taxes to think more in terms of residential, because that's where we interface
right.
with that collection mechanism. The valuations for commercial businesses are based on their assets, their revenue stream, the mm-hmm. value of those assets, and the value of that revenue stream, which will be significantly impacted, particularly if you look and go back into the areas of retail, food and beverage. Those types of things have a significant impact. Even on the, so the commercial valuations, my assumption would be, are a much, much larger part of that $1.786 million, as opposed to the way most of us have a tendency to think about property taxes in the form of our personal residences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is well said. The corporate side, businesses' contribution to property taxes is a lot more dynamic and would be affected more quickly and represents the larger share of that. Absolutely.